Have you ever wondered why some startups skyrocket to success while others crash and burn despite seemingly brilliant ideas? Lean Analytics by Alistair Kroll and Benjamin Yaskowitz might hold the answer. This 2013 book quickly became the Bible for data-driven entrepreneurship, with tech luminaries like Tim O'Reilly praising how it cuts through opinion with facts. What makes this book particularly powerful is its practical approach to transforming the often chaotic world of startups into a disciplined science of growth. In an era where 90% of startups fail, Kroll and Yaskowitz offer a lifeline of methodical measurement that has helped thousands of founders navigate the treacherous waters between idea and profitable business. In the wilderness of startup metrics, it's easy to get lost tracking dozens of numbers that make you feel good but don't drive meaningful action. The authors introduce a powerful concept they call the One Metric That Matters, OMTM, a single number that represents the most critical aspect of your business at its current stage. The OMTM isn't static, it evolves as your business grows. In the earliest days, it might be interview scores from potential customers. Later, it could be user engagement, viral coefficient, or customer acquisition costs. The key is focus. By rallying your entire team around improving this single metric, you create a powerful force for experimentation and growth. Take Moz, formerly SEOmoz, a successful SaaS company helping businesses improve search rankings. Despite tracking many metrics, they maintain laser focus on net adds, the total of new paid subscribers minus cancellations. This single number quickly reveals high cancellation days and indicates free trial conversion performance. Interestingly, lead investor Brad Feld suggested tracking fewer KPIs to avoid getting lost in strange trends. We're spending too much time reporting on metrics that don't lead to action. The OMTM concept serves four crucial purposes. It answers the most important question facing your business, forces you to draw a line in the sand with clear goals, focuses the entire company, avoiding what analytics expert Avinash Kaushik calls data puking, and inspires a culture of experimentation. By rallying everyone around improving a single metric, you create an environment that encourages small failures while avoiding catastrophic ones. Even traditional businesses benefit from this approach. Solare Ristorante in San Diego tracks the ratio of staff costs to gross revenues daily, with 24% being ideal. This metric works because it's simple, immediate, actionable, comparable, and fundamental to the business model. The restaurant also uses a predictive metric. At 5 p.m., they count reservations and multiply by 5 to forecast total covers for the night, allowing them to make staffing adjustments as needed. Every startup progresses through distinct developmental stages, each requiring different metrics and focus. Understanding where you are in this journey helps identify what to measure and when to move forward. The first stage, empathy, involves discovering what's important to people by genuinely understanding their problems. Rather than proving you're smart or that you've found a solution, your job is to get inside someone else's head. The metrics here are primarily qualitative: problem interview scores, solution interview feedback, and signs of genuine customer pain. When interviewing potential customers, certain patterns indicate you found a problem worth solving. Prospects wanting to pay immediately, evidence they're actively trying to solve the problem already, animated conversation showing passion for the topic, and positive body language like leaning forward. Negative patterns include distraction, rambling off topic, and negative body language like slumping. After understanding your market, the focus shifts to the stickiness stage, building something that keeps users engaged. The key metrics now revolve around retention and engagement: daily, weekly, monthly active users, time to inactivity, and feature usage patterns. You need proof your product is becoming integral to users' lives. Your goal isn't rapid growth, but building a core set of regularly used features, even with a small initial user base. The virality stage focuses on how your product spreads from existing users to new ones. The key metric is the viral coefficient, the number of new customers that each existing customer successfully converts. Calculated by multiplying the invitation rate, invite sent divided by users, by the acceptance rate, signups divided by invites. A coefficient above 1 means self-sustaining growth, where each user brings in at least one more user. In the revenue stage, you've established product stickiness and virality and now need to optimize monetization. The focus shifts to which aspect of Sergio Zimon's marketing definition, more stuff, more people, more money, more often, more efficiently, will best increase revenue per engaged customer. Finally, the scale stage involves reaching a wider audience, entering new markets, achieving predictability and sustainability, and forming partnerships. Your startup becomes part of a broader ecosystem, proving not just a business, but an entire market. The fundamental business model drives which metrics matter most. The book identifies 6 core models that most startups fall into, each with unique metrics and benchmarks. E-commerce businesses focus on conversion rates, shopping cart size, abandonment rates, and customer lifetime value. While traditional e-commerce followed a simple conversion funnel, modern e-commerce is more complex. Most buyers find products through search rather than navigation. Retailers use recommendation engines, traffic is segmented for optimization, and purchases often begin in social networks. Software as a service, SaaS businesses deliver software on demand, typically generating revenue through monthly or yearly subscriptions. Key metrics include churn rate, customer lifetime value, and customer acquisition cost. BackupFi, a cloud backup provider, demonstrates the evolution of metric focus as a SaaS company grows. They initially tracked site visitors, then trial users, then signups, and now focus primarily on monthly recurring revenue, MRR. Their current customer lifetime value to customer acquisition cost ratio is 5 to 6x, partly due to low churn and high lock-in for cloud storage. Mobile app developers monetize through various methods, including downloadable content, customization options, in-game advantages, and advertising. Unlike web applications that allow easy A/B testing and continuous deployment, mobile apps face constraints from App Store gatekeepers, limiting iteration cycles. Key metrics include installation volume, average revenue per user, percentage of users who pay, and churn at specific intervals, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month. Media sites generate revenue through advertising, focusing on metrics like unique visitors, visit frequency, time spent on site, and pages viewed per visit. These metrics combine to determine the site's inventory, opportunities to show advertisements to visitors. The fundamental tension for media sites is between monetization and user experience. Dedicating screen real estate to ads generates revenue but reduces space for valuable content that keeps visitors engaged. User-generated content, UGC sites like Facebook, Reddit, and Twitter, make money through advertising but differ from traditional media sites by focusing primarily on building engaged communities that create content. Success depends on converting visitors into regular users and moving them up the engagement funnel, from lurking to voting, commenting, subscribing, submitting content, and creating new communities. Two-sided marketplaces connect buyers and sellers to complete transactions, with the platform taking a fee or percentage. The defining characteristics include sellers listing and promoting their own products, marketplace owners maintaining a hands-off approach to individual transactions, and buyers and sellers having competing interests. The key challenge is attracting both buyers and sellers simultaneously, with the most successful platforms focusing first on whoever has the money, usually the buyers. Growth hacking is data-driven guerrilla marketing that relies on understanding how parts of the business interrelate. It combines elements of traditional marketing with technical expertise, analytics, and product development to achieve rapid business growth. This methodology involves finding an early metric in a user's life cycle, understanding how it correlates to critical business goals, building predictions based on this metric, and modifying the user experience to improve future outcomes. Successful companies have identified specific leading indicators that predict long-term user engagement and success. Facebook discovered users become truly engaged when they reach 7 friends within 10 days. This became their aha moment metric. Twitter looks for users following a minimum number of people, with some following back, as this indicates active participation in the platform's ecosystem. Zynga tracks first-day retention as it strongly predicts long-term gaming engagement. Dropbox measures if users put at least one file in one folder, showing active usage of the service. LinkedIn monitors the number of professional connections established in the first few days, as early networking activity correlates with sustained platform use. When you find a leading indicator correlated with future outcomes, you can make powerful predictions about user behavior and business growth. Reddit's comprehensive data analysis shows that logged-in users consistently view 20 to 30% more pages per visit than anonymous visitors, with engagement patterns becoming more pronounced based on visit frequency. Users who visit daily show 2 to 3 times higher engagement than weekly visitors. This strong correlation between account creation and increased page views helps Reddit predict future site traffic, plan infrastructure needs, and optimize engagement strategies. While correlation enables prediction, establishing causality gives you the power to actively change outcomes. If high page views during first visits actually cause enrollment, Reddit could optimize their homepage and recommendation algorithms to increase page views and boost signups. Similarly, Circle of Moms founder Mike Greenfield discovered through data analysis that mothers were significantly more engaged users, spending 40% more time on the platform and generating 60% more content. This insight allowed him to both accurately predict future server capacity requirements and strategically target mothers in marketing campaigns, leading to more efficient user acquisition and higher retention rates. The key to successful growth hacking lies in continuously testing hypotheses, measuring results, and iterating based on data. Companies must establish clear metrics that matter, understand the relationships between different user behaviors, and systematically optimize their product and marketing efforts to drive sustainable growth. The penny machine metaphor illustrates the ideal business model, a mechanism that reliably produces more money than you put in. Like the fictional entrepreneur who demonstrates a machine that turns pennies into nickels with 80% margins, successful businesses need a clear, understandable revenue model with good margins and defensible advantages. This concept extends beyond simple profit margins. It encompasses the entire system of value creation and capture that makes a business sustainable and scalable. The fundamental rule of sustainable growth is simple. Spend less acquiring customers than you earn from them over their lifetime. However, this oversimplifies the reality, as you need to spend only a fraction of revenue on acquisition to maintain operations, hire for growth, fund research, and generate returns. The CLV-CAC calculation must also account for the timing gap between paying for acquisition and receiving customer revenue. Successful companies typically aim for a CLV-CAC ratio of at least 3-to-1, with some SaaS businesses targeting even higher ratios of 5-to-1 or greater to account for overhead costs and growth investments. Parsley, now an analytics tool for publishers, underwent multiple pivots before finding its revenue model. Starting as a consumer newsreader in 2009, it pivoted to content recommendation in 2010 and finally to publisher analytics in 2011. Despite positive metrics and press coverage for its initial product, the company couldn't monetize it effectively. Product lead Mike Sukmanovsky noted they had thousands of users but lacked one critical metric: revenue. This journey illustrates a common startup challenge: distinguishing between vanity metrics like user numbers or press mentions and true business value metrics that indicate sustainable growth. When growth stalls, most founders instinctively build more features, but this rarely solves the core problem. Instead, consider pivoting to a new market, finding market/product fit rather than product market fit. This approach assumes your product isn't fundamentally flawed, but is targeting the wrong customers, and it's often easier to change markets than rebuild products. Successful pivots often involve maintaining core technology while reimagining its application. Slack began as a gaming company. Twitter emerged from a podcasting platform, and Instagram started as a location-based service called Bourbon. The key to optimizing your penny machine lies in understanding unit economics at a granular level. This includes tracking metrics like customer acquisition costs by channel, lifetime value by customer segment, and churn rates over time. Companies should regularly audit their revenue model to identify opportunities for optimization, such as reducing customer acquisition costs through referral programs, increasing lifetime value through upselling and cross-selling, or improving retention through better onboarding and customer success programs. Once you've identified your business model and stage, you need clear benchmarks to determine if you're succeeding or failing. Without these lines in the sand, you're operating blind, unable to tell if your metrics indicate triumph or trouble. These benchmarks serve as crucial navigation tools in the complex landscape of business growth. WP Engine, a WordPress hosting company founded by Jason Cohen in 2010, illustrates the importance of industry benchmarks. When Cohen noticed their 2% monthly customer cancellation rate, he initially worried. But after researching the hosting industry through investors like Automatic and conducting extensive market analysis, he discovered that 2% monthly churn represents the best-case scenario even for established hosting companies. Without this benchmark, WP Engine might have wasted resources trying to improve an already optimal metric. This revelation allowed them to focus resources on other growth initiatives instead of chasing an unrealistic churn target. While benchmarks are helpful, the Startup Genome Project's comprehensive data serves as a sobering reminder that average performance simply isn't sufficient for startup success. Their research, analyzing data from over 3,200 high-growth technology startups, shows average startups have churn rates between 12-19%, nowhere near the ideal 2-5% needed for sustainability. Similarly, consumer applications typically have a nearly 1-to-1 customer acquisition cost to customer lifetime value ratio, meaning they're spending all their revenue just acquiring new users. This ratio needs to be at least 3-to-1 for sustainable growth. Several universal metrics apply across most business models, requiring careful tracking and optimization. Growth rate, month-over-month revenue or user growth. Visitor engagement, time spent, pages viewed, return visits. Pricing targets, average revenue per user, ARPU. Customer acquisition, cost per acquisition, CPA, and conversion rates. Virality, K-factor and viral coefficient. Mailing list effectiveness, open rates and click-through rates. Uptime, system reliability and performance. Time on site, user engagement and stickiness. Paul Graham, Y Combinator co-founder, argues that a startup is fundamentally a company designed for rapid growth, distinguishing it from traditional businesses. At Y Combinator, teams meticulously track weekly growth rates, with 5-7% considered good, 10% exceptional, and 1% a sign of serious problems. These weekly measurements allow for quick course corrections and help identify successful growth strategies early. Industry-specific benchmarks also play a crucial role. SaaS companies typically aim for a net revenue retention rate above 100%, while e-commerce businesses focus on metrics like average order value and shopping cart abandonment rates. B2B companies often measure sales cycle length and lead qualification rates, with top performers closing deals in half the time of average companies. When a startup succeeds, it becomes a sustainable, repeatable business generating returns for founders and investors. At this point, funding shifts from identifying uncertainties to executing on a proven model, and data becomes more about accounting than optimization. However, the need to identify unknown unknowns becomes crucial for management. Leaders can create competitive advantage by demanding data-backed decisions, which also enables flatter, more autonomous organizations. Rather than propagating opinions, facts speak for themselves, empowering employees to take responsibility when supported by data. To overcome resistance from those who trust gut instinct, choose a small but significant problem, like churn or conversion rates, and improve it through analytics. Avoid politically charged issues initially, but after demonstrating benefits, expand the approach across departments to prevent silos. For analytics projects to succeed, everyone involved must align around clear goals with defined metrics and lines in the sand. Without these targets, efforts will fail. Unless you're the CEO implementing a top-down approach, executive support is crucial. The relevant department head must champion the effort to align goals and drive cultural change throughout the organization. Good metrics are easy to understand at a glance. Avoid overwhelming people with too many numbers, which leads to frustration and incorrect focus. The one metric that matters principle helps ease people into analytics. Share both data and methodologies to build trust. Create decision-making frameworks for repeatable analytics strategies. Transparency in both success and failure helps break down data silos and overcome preconceptions about analytics. Lean analytics isn't about eliminating intuition, but proving it right or wrong. Like science itself, which values creative, intuitive leaps alongside empirical methods, companies should balance instinct with small, data-driven experiments that demonstrate the value of analytics. Innovation within established companies faces unique challenges that require a delicate balance between entrepreneurial spirit and corporate reality. While startup principles apply to internal innovation, they require significant adaptation to survive and thrive in corporate settings. Unlike independent startups, intrapreneurs must simultaneously shield their projects from organizational constraints while ensuring their innovations can eventually integrate seamlessly with the host company's existing systems and culture. The authors propose 14 essential rules for lean intrapreneurs, beginning with securing high-level executive sponsorship, ideally from C-suite leaders who can provide both protection and resources. Building a small, agile team of 5 to 7 people with diverse skills is crucial, as is using tools and methodologies that can handle rapid change and iteration. The rules emphasize maintaining simple but disciplined reporting structures to keep stakeholders informed without getting bogged down in bureaucracy. Setting clear goals and success criteria up front helps prevent mission drift and ensures alignment with corporate objectives. Organizations often innovate defensively to maintain market dominance rather than to disrupt. Microsoft has demonstrated this strategy multiple times throughout its history. In the 1990s, Bill Gates recognized the existential threat posed by Netscape's browser and rapidly developed Internet Explorer, eventually bundling it with Windows to maintain Microsoft's ecosystem dominance. More recently, Microsoft transformed its Office suite into Microsoft 365, a software-as-a-service SaaS model in direct response to Google's emerging Office suite. This defensive innovation helped Microsoft maintain its market leadership while modernizing its core product. Intrapreneurs follow similar stages to startups but must navigate additional complexities. The most critical difference is the need for executive buy-in before beginning any significant work. Unlike startups that can pivot freely, intrapreneurs need organizational support from day one. They must simultaneously satisfy both external customers and internal stakeholders, often with competing interests. The process typically includes several distinct phases: securing executive sponsorship through compelling internal pitches, identifying organizational problems rather than just testing market demand, focusing on data-driven analytics over traditional business cases to prove value, and carefully designing MVPs that respect organizational constraints while still delivering innovation. Successful intrapreneurs also need to consider viral adoption strategies within their organization from the start, as internal adoption often precedes external success. They must navigate complex pricing ecosystems that consider both market forces and internal cost structures. Perhaps most challengingly, they need to plan for eventually transitioning successful innovations to the broader organization, a phase that requires careful change management and organizational alignment to ensure long-term success. The disciplined approach to startup growth that Kral and Yaskovitz outline represents a fundamental shift in how entrepreneurs build businesses. Rather than relying solely on vision and gut instinct, successful founders now combine creative inspiration with rigorous measurement and iteration. This hybrid approach balances the qualitative aspects of entrepreneurship with quantitative validation, creating a more reliable path to success. The methodology introduces several key principles that transform how startups operate. First, it emphasizes the importance of establishing clear, measurable goals at each stage of development. For example, an early-stage B2B startup might focus on achieving a 40% conversion rate from free trial to paid customer, while a marketplace business might prioritize reaching 1,000 active sellers before scaling further. These concrete targets replace vague aspirations with actionable objectives. This data-driven framework doesn't diminish the importance of big ideas or passionate founders. Instead, it provides a structure that increases the odds of success by identifying and overcoming risks systematically. Entrepreneurs learn to track specific metrics that align with their business model, whether it's churn rate for subscription services, gross merchandise value for marketplaces, or customer acquisition cost for e-commerce ventures. This focused approach helps teams allocate their limited resources more effectively and make informed decisions about product development, marketing strategies, and growth initiatives. The framework also introduces the concept of one metric that matters, OMTM, encouraging founders to identify and rally their team around the single most important measure of progress at any given time. This might be weekly active users during the product validation phase or customer lifetime value when optimizing for profitability. By concentrating on one key metric, teams avoid the distraction of tracking too many variables simultaneously. Perhaps most importantly, lean analytics transforms entrepreneurship from a mysterious art practiced by a gifted few into an accessible science that anyone can learn. It provides a repeatable process for testing assumptions, gathering feedback, and iterating based on real-world data. Successful companies like Dropbox, Airbnb, and Buffer have demonstrated how this methodical approach can lead to sustainable growth using continuous measurement and optimization to refine their offerings. While not guaranteeing success, this approach dramatically improves the odds by replacing hope and hype with measurement and learning. It helps founders avoid common pitfalls like premature scaling or misreading market signals. In a world where most startups fail, that disciplined path to growth might make all the difference between building something people want and becoming another cautionary tale. The systematic nature of lean analytics provides a framework that can guide entrepreneurs through the crucial early stages of company building, helping them make better decisions based on evidence rather than assumptions.